Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
Let's all stand up. If you're new here, boy, I got to tell you, I hope you encounter the pastors that are here. They are just fantastic. Pastor Daniel and Pastor Teresa have been dear friends of mine, spoken into my life more than once, and they are just so fantastic. Great pastors, pastors, pastors. I couldn't think of a better place. If I were living in San Diego, I'd be right in this house for sure. Amen. So I just encourage you to come back and listen to them. And anything wrong that I say, don't worry. Pastor Daniel will straighten it all out. He's brilliant, okay? And so we'll go ahead and have fun, and then he'll straighten out the stuff that I get off on. So I love them, and they're fantastic. All right, so Father, we open up our hearts to you, and we ask you to just bless with your word. We look to your word. Father, you know every need that is represented, even greater than need. Father, every purpose and destiny that is here, that the enemy has been trying to bury under the weight of the world, under the weight of wrong decisions. Father, we pray it all be pulled off, your name would get glory, and that the word of God would be highlighted in our hearts, and Jesus' name would absolutely be centered in everything we do and say. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you. Slap somebody high five on the way down, all right? Just tell them that the word of God is awesome. As I said, this is going to be the very first in four sessions that we're going to do, because I'm going to be teaching on a series that I'm calling The Movement, Transferring Heaven to the Earth. And it's a teaching about the kingdom of God, and I believe it is absolutely essential, but it is impossible to be able to teach the kingdom in four sessions, because Jesus took 3 years to be able to teach it to the disciples, and they still didn't get it. And then after the 3 years, they needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit to begin that revelation and continue teaching on it. So we're going to start to teach on it, and just you can take notes, and we'll, you know, maybe end up with some questions and answers time, and, you know, just to help you. And then also what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to get on Facebook and invite people, Instagram, Twitter, and just start inviting people and get them here for the next session and then the subsequent sessions. Today, it is going to help you, I promise you, because it's not me. We're going to get me out of the way. We're just going to teach the principles that Jesus laid forth in the kingdom, and it's going to bring transformation into your life. And so I'm going to ask you to do that. You can go to my Facebook business page. It's Pastor Tom Moffitt. Is that how they find me, Pastor Tom Moffitt? And like it. And then ultimately we'll be putting some more information on there, following up with some of this teaching and stuff so that you can continue to dig into what God has for it. Yeah, don't dislike it. You got to like it. I'm watching, okay? So we'll do that. So the next four sessions. So make sure you Twitter it up, Facebook it up, Instagram it up, chat it up, and whatever platform that you use, okay? Or send out an email if you're over 40, or, you know, send a letter, snail mail, send a postcard if you're my age. How many of you young people know what a newspaper is? Newspaper? What is a newspaper? They don't even know what a newspaper is. All right. We're talking about the kingdom. The kingdom of God will transform, listen to me, any person, place, or thing. God's kingdom is designed, it is destined for transformation. From Mother Teresa to Kim Kardashian, it will transform them. It doesn't matter whether it's Mother Teresa or Honey Boo Boo, they'll be transformed. It doesn't matter whether it is from Beverly Hills to the slums of India, the kingdom of God will penetrate and permeate and transform any environment, any person, any place, anything that is willing to receive it. It is destined for transformation. It cannot not work. It will always work. It's the way that God has designed it. So it doesn't matter whether you're in a prison cell in Sing Sing or whether you're in a penthouse in New York, the kingdom of God is designed to penetrate and to transform every environment. And what you must know about God's kingdom is, first, God's kingdom is unseen. You don't necessarily see it. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is like a seed. And what we know about seed is it's planted, it's powerful, but it's unseen. And though unseen, just because it is unseen does not mean that it is not present. The kingdom is always present. It is always available. It is always powerful to produce transformation. Secondly, it's important that we understand about the kingdom of God, and I'll explain exactly what that is, but that the kingdom of God is targeted at penetration. It is never intimidated. Darkness does not intimidate the kingdom of God. It does not want to flee darkness. It wants to penetrate darkness. This is important for us because in religion we have learned something different. We said stay away from the world. Stay away from the world. Stay away from ungodly people. Separate yourselves. And anything and any institution and any environment that the Church of Jesus Christ separates from, that same institution will oppress the church. We can't get mad at Hollywood if we abandon Hollywood. We can't get mad at Washington if we abandon Washington, because the kingdom of God is not designed to stay away from the world. That admonition is so that you don't have worldly thinking, because worldly thinking will never produce the kingdom of God. It'll only produce what the world can produce, and Jesus is calling us to a higher way of thinking. The kingdom will always penetrate. I don't care how dark. I don't care how depressed, I don't care how evil, God will penetrate that darkness with light and drive out darkness with his light. The kingdom of God is destined to invade the earth, to take the chaos of the inner world and transform it to the order of heaven. I got a BS degree. Now, that's Bachelor of Science, not the other BS, although I've used both. I got a BS degree, a double major in business administration and theology. And then I got a postgraduate Master of Divinity in systematic theology. And I took everything from homiletics and hermeneutics and Christology and pneumatology and cosmology. Not to be confused with cosmetology. They wouldn't let me in that class. I don't know why. Epistemology, all of these. I took every ology that was out there. And 8 or 9 years, it took me a little longer, 8 or 9 years of education. Never once was I taught about the single message, the only message that Jesus Christ ever preached was the gospel of the kingdom. One message and one message alone. He taught the gospel of the kingdom. Now, he taught about the demonstration of the gospel of the kingdom when he said that person was healed because of this, or I'm going to the cross. But the one message that he taught was the message of the gospel of the kingdom. And the kingdom of God is the answer to every psychological, sociological, every cosmological issue that we are, physiological, financial problem. The kingdom of God is God's answer to you and I for every single need that we have. The kingdom of God will always bring change and transformation. How many of you have heard this beautiful statement that prayer changes things? Can I tell you that prayer does not necessarily change things, because I've seen a lot of praying going on and a little changing going on. So just because somebody is praying doesn't mean that they are praying accurately and right. Just because you got a golf swing and you keep on swinging that golf club doesn't mean you got a good golf swing, right? You're going to have to straighten some things out in order to get it online. So they tell me, right? The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. Martin Luther prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed before his salvation, and there wasn't a whole lot going on. And I believe that prayer is absolutely essential for transforming our lives, but prayer has got to connect us to the order of heaven, to the kingdom of heaven, to the rule of God, to the order, the way that God is doing things, so that we can begin to demonstrate the reality of the kingdom of God working in our lives. And so I believe that it is crucial that we start to understand the nature, the power, and how to operate in God's kingdom, because it's his kingdom that brings his order to the earth and will transform, not just kind of going to church and learning religious activity. I've seen amazing miracles happen through 30 years of ministry, 25, 27 years of ministry, because I started when I was 4. I'm lying, right? So I've seen amazing things happen. I prayed, amazing prayer meetings, God bumps. You guys ever get God bumps? I mean, I had some God bumps and goosebumps and laying on the floor and spending time in the presence of God. And it was awesome. I've prophesied and seen amazing miracles happen, right? And a lot of good things that have transpired in my life. But when it comes to change and transformation, I know I was saved. I know that, you know, I believe God and saw some miracles coming through my life. That was good. But if I were to be honest, if I were to be really honest, other than the fact that I was redeemed and going to heaven, other than the fact that I had an understanding that my sins were forgiven, how many of you know that is a blessing? That's a blessing. And that God loved me. I knew that. But if I were honest, and if somebody were looking at me, there was not a lot of distinction between the way I lived and the way that a person that didn't even know Christ lived in terms of rulership. In terms of ruling the earth, I don't know that the way that I ruled and took dominion was a whole lot different than they ruled. When you dig into the finances of people in the church, there's not a lot of difference between finances of people in the church and people in the world. Just as much debt in the church as there is in the world. Just as much depression as there is in the world. Divorce is the same in the church as it is in the world. And this is an issue. And this is a problem. Because the greatest movement that is going to happen and sweep people into the kingdom of God is the distinction between us and people that aren't operating in the kingdom of God. And when the distinction is there, you will not have to go and look for the people. They're going to come looking for you. I promise you. Micah chapter 4, you can turn in your Bibles to Micah chapter 4, one of the greatest Old Testament passages referring to the kingdom of God and its power within our lives. So let's get to the word of God. This Micah chapter 4 was also prophesied by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 2. And this is what he says. In the last days, come on, say last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be highest. The mountain, mountains always speak and refer metaphorically to kingdoms of the world, to kingdom of God. Mountains, the mountain of the Lord's house will be highest of all, and the most important place upon the earth. It'll be raised above all other hills, and the people from all over the world will stream to it there to worship. Verse 2, people from many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the kingdom of God, and to the house of Jacob, the church of Jesus Christ, the house of Jacob. And there he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the Lord's teaching will go out from Zion, and his word will go out from Jerusalem. A couple things to notice there. They did not capitalize he because they were speaking of Jacob. That Jacob in that house will teach us God's ways. And from there, the law will go forth from Jerusalem. Why is this important? The mountain of the Lord's house, mountains speak of the kingdom of God, would be raised up above all other kingdoms. The Lord's house, where Jacob is a person that represents a transformed believer. How many of you remember who Jacob was? He was the deceiver. He was the one that had all kinds of deception going on in his life. And then he had an encounter with God, and God changed his name. He changed his nature. He said, you are no longer deceiver. Now you're Israel. You're a prince with God and a prince with man. And he transformed Jacob, and Jacob began to live out of that. That Jacob is an expression of you and I in our broken place, in our messed up lives, in our inferiority, in our fear, in our doubt, in our unbelief, that we come to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ says, I've got transforming power for you, and you are no longer Peter, you are no longer John, you are no longer Tom, you are a son and a daughter of God. And when that revelation hits those people, they would rise up out of that, and now they would begin to enact authority on the earth. Not just because they're going to church, but because of that transformation, their new identity, they would start to extend that authority. And that extension caused them to be distinct. And pretty soon the world and people would look at them and say, listen, I see what I've got, and I see what you've got. And I don't want what I've got anymore. I have got to have what you have. Teach me your ways. Show me how you did your business. Show me how you did your company. Tell me how you did your employees. Show me how you balanced your books. Show me how it was that you put that back together. Teach me your ways. This is why the Apostle Paul would say the kingdom of God is not in words, but it's in a demonstration. Come on, say that word, demonstration. It's in a demonstration of power. That means you either got it or you don't got it. Hello, come on. You're either demonstrating it or you're not demonstrating, and the only way that you're going to demonstrate it is out of a vibrant, personal, authentic, real relationship with the God of heaven. And that's why religion will never work in the kingdom. You can't perform your way into it. You can't smile your way into it. You can't act your way into it. The kingdom of God is adverse to all of those things. You authentically live it and display it in your life. And when you do, darkness cannot overtake you. It cannot. It's law. The kingdom of God always works. It never not works. It will work 100% of the time. Jesus did not fail. Jesus will not fail. The Apostle Paul said, love, come on, say it with me, does not fail. We must awaken. People are waiting for God to do something. They're waiting for God to be poured out. They're waiting for revival to be poured out. I don't think that the Church of Jesus Christ needs to have God do something else. I think they need to awaken to what he has already done and start to walk in the finished work and authority of what he's already done. To take by faith the completed work of Jesus Christ and exercise it over the earth with authority, with rule and dominion, and start commanding some mountains of resistance to get out of our way. Why? Because we're the sons and the daughters of God upon the earth. That's a different way of thinking. It's a different mentality. And most of us are going to prayer meeting saying, God, please, God, please, God, will you? God, please, will God, please? And he said, I was pleased. I am pleased. I sent my only son to the earth to die. And he hung between heaven and earth. And he absorbed your sin. And he made you righteous. And he gave you his authority. Now extend your scepter of authority and move the frickin' mountain. I don't know if God said frickin', but something like that. Right? But I didn't always have that mentality. I was trying to be a good boy. I was told that I had to go to church. Man, I went to church. I went to church. Did I go to church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and Tuesday night prayer and Thursday night was visitation and Saturday was, if you're a bus captain, you had to go out and visit people on your bus route and then Sunday you did the bus route and then you start all again. I knew about church, all right? I knew about religion. But let me tell you something. I didn't know about freedom. I didn't know how to take the authority of heaven and pull my destiny under the rule of heaven. And that's what I want for you. That's what I want for us. That's the calling, to start to awaken the church to what Jesus Christ has done so that we can extend the scepter of authority. We've had great meetings that are going on here, and I can tell you're starting to understand your identity, your purpose. You can receive God's love and power and right there be connected to the presence of God, saturating in his presence, being transformed. But that is for one thing, so that you would get up and fulfill the purpose that you were sent from heaven to the earth for. Do you understand that you were sent from heaven? Go ahead and settle it. God doesn't want you in heaven right now, or else you'd be there. He doesn't want you there. He sent you here to bring heaven to the earth. We got to learn to do that. So we are going to learn how that the kingdom of God operates and how you and I can begin to operate in God's kingdom. I don't know if you've ever heard the story of Joyce Meyer. I like her teaching. I've always liked her teaching, but recently, about a month, month and a half ago, I heard her testimony, and it absolutely shook my world. Joyce Meyer was raped by her father over 200 times from the time that she was 8 to the time that she was 18. The things that her father did to her and asked her to do were so vile that she can't speak about those particular things publicly. Raped over 200 times by her father. And not only raped by her father 200 times, but sometimes when her friends would come over, her father would target her friends. She lived in fear and depression. She was filled with resentment and anger and bitterness. Can you imagine that you were a sex slave in your own family? I don't know that it can get darker. I don't know that you could, the depression that would be associated to her sense of worth, her sense of value, 200 times. And she said that her father would burst forth with anger and disapproval and control her sense of who she was through this anger and disapproval. And finally, Joyce Meyer, the Word of God started to work inside of her heart. And it's why she's so adamant about God's Word. Because if you try and draw your sense of identity, your sense of worth from any other environment than the Word of God, even if it's just a good positive self-image, you will undercut the reality of what God has created you to be. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. It hasn't even entered into the heart of man what God has laid up for you. He says that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. How do we get our mind around the fact that you, sinner me, our brokenness, our fear, our doubt, our unbelief, all of those things going on, that you and I are the very righteousness of God? It takes a revelation to begin to understand that. And Joyce Meyer started to come to the Word of God, and it started to transform the way that she thought about herself. And as it began to transform the way she got up after 18, she left her home, and the Word started transforming her. But God started to deal with her, Brother Tal, about forgiveness, and that she had to forgive, and she had to release, and she had to get rid of all that bitterness and all that resentment. And finally, as the Word of God was having its work, she would go to her father, and her father would say things like to her, "I don't see why you were so upset about all of that." How many of you know that creates a whole other issue? And finally, he came to the point where she had said to her husband, "We need to take care of my dad. I need to love him and just take care of him regardless of what he's done." So she unconditionally loved her father, and it broke him down to the point where he repented and said, "Everything I did to you was wrong." And he repented to her husband. He repented to her, and Joyce Meyer led her sex trafficking father to Jesus Christ. And not only did he get saved, but then she baptized him and got involved in their church and died a free man. How did that happen? How did that happen? I know people want abuse. I know people that aren't abused that never come out of depression. How did that happen? You see, that's the question that I want you to begin to ask when you read the New Testament. Not that you saw Jesus walk on water, because most of us read it religiously. He walked on water. He was God. Awesome. Great. But Jesus was displaying the reality of the principles of the kingdom of God in terms of how we're to operate on the earth. How did Joyce Meyer get set free from that kind of darkness? Because when the kingdom of God comes into an environment, it will transform any environment that receives it. And because she received it, no matter how dark, it began to transform her life. And no matter where you are this morning, whether you've been in ministry for years, and you're just feeling like you're just not there, there's something else, I'm not in mind. The answer for you is the same answer that Joyce Meyer found. It's the same answer that Jacob found. It's the same answer that Peter found. It's the same message that Jesus brought when he came and said, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Reach out and grab it. The kingdom of God is amongst you." It's the same message for us. Listen to this quote. This is from E. Stanley Jones, one of my mentors. He wrote a book called The Unshakable Kingdom and The Unchanging Person. After years and years, 60 years in ministry, he was 85 when he wrote this book, and he said, "It all comes down to this for me." He said, "Jesus swept onto the scene declaring the controversial truth that the kingdom of God had arrived. He proclaimed that we would experience life at its fullest only when organized, that life is organized around the kingdom. Throughout the centuries, we have lost the kingdom. We have reduced the kingdom by putting it into a narrow mold, a refuge for now, a present security, or a future hope. Anything but the kingdom that Jesus preached. The kingdom that Jesus preached is God's total answer to man's every and total need." Jack Taylor says in his book, Cosmic Initiative, the kingdom of God is the supreme reality and the greatest theme in all of the universe. And Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the mandate that we receive is seek you first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. Then what does he say? Then everything else will be added. That means that everything other than the kingdom of God is just an add-on. If you're focused on healing, if you're focused on deliverance, if you're focused on reading the word, if you're focused on any of those things, those are all add-ons that are important. They're an expression and they help us to connect to it, but they are add-ons to what Jesus Christ told us to seek. Seek the kingdom. Come on, say seek. Seek the kingdom, okay? So that's what we're going to take a look at. So I've got just a few minutes here. The first thing that I want you to see is that the kingdom of God operates by principle, by law, by legality. The kingdom of God operates not on feeling and not on morality, but legality. Okay, I'm going to say it again. The kingdom of God operates not on morality, but on legality. Ooh, that's important. That is so important for you to know. When I talk about the kingdom of God, we're talking about this word basileel in the New Testament. It's tied into the word kabod, Old Testament glory. It's talking about heaven's culture. It's talking about kingdom culture. A culture is the culture of a nation is the impact and the influence of that nation upon others. It's hard for us to understand it in America because we are a democratic society. We are not imperial. And so consequently, we don't understand colonization. But the kingdom of God is really about an empire colonizing other empires. That means they come from one and they take a territory. The kingdom of God is about a territory, and they take that territory and they colonize it. They take their culture and they imprint with their influence and their culture upon it. Now, it's important for us to understand that about the kingdom of God, because the Bible says over in Luke chapter 17 that the kingdom of God is not over there. It's not over here. Where is it? The kingdom of God is inside of us. Why is it inside of us? It's because people carry culture. If you came from New Mexico, if you came from Mexico, you came with sopapillas. Hallelujah. With beans. Hallelujah. With my favorite, fajitas. How do you get better? We're going to be eating those in heaven. But they didn't stay in Mexico. Why? They came over the border with you. And now they're in America, and that part of the culture is coming. Why? Because people carry culture. Now, why is that important for us to understand about the kingdom of God? It's his reign. It's his rule. It's his order. The kingdom of God is order. Where there is disorder, he wants order. The kingdom of God is about his government, his rule, his way of doing things, his system. That's a culture. And he says, hey, you from heaven, remember, understand the culture that is up here. And colonize the earth. As ambassadors, I expect you to take kingdom's culture and impose that influence upon the earth. And we carry the culture. So now the challenge is, if I'm not in agreement with heaven's culture, I cannot impart what I do not possess. I can't possess just a mentality. I can't possess just impart just a mentality or impart just a thought or just a word. I've got to possess it. And when I have the power of possession, then I could take the kingdom of God and implement it into the world, into the system. And it's different because I'm living in it. I'm demonstrating it. And when it's demonstration, there's power upon it. And that means people can see and know that you've got something that they do not have, and they're going to incline their ear. They will find you. They will come after you and say, you got to teach me this. You got to show me this. Just like Philip, the evangelist. And he's on his way, and that Ethiopian eunuch came to him and said, you got to teach me the kingdom. You got to show me the kingdom. You got to show me what this whole thing is about, right? They'll come because the kingdom of God is being manifested in our life. The kingdom of God is based on legality. So I'm going to ask you a question. Was the crucifixion of Jesus just? Give it a shot. You know I'm trying to trick you, right? I'm doing a play on words. Okay, so most people are going to say, no, it was not just. It was horrible. It was terrible. The crucifixion of Jesus was not moral. But from a legal standpoint, it wasn't fair, it being just. So it was not justly fair, but it was justly legal. At the right moment of time, God chose the Roman culture to make a judgment to the Son of God upon the earth. And he raised up a man called Pontius Pilate. And Jesus would be standing before Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate had legal authority from Caesar, the delegated authority on the earth, and God knew it. And the Jews brought him there, and Pontius Pilate said, I don't see it, I don't understand it, I want to let him go, but under our law, we have a law that we believe is just, and we can either let a murderer go or crucify this. You choose one. And they chose Barabbas. They let Barabbas go. And now the innocent is standing there, and justly and legally, that innocent human being, God, in the flesh, would be crucified justly. Justly, under legal terms, because Pontius Pilate did not break one Roman law when he said, yes, crucify him. He had the legal right. He had the legal authority, and it had to be legal. Because God sent his Son into the world. It had to be a man. Because we in our will gave it away. We gave our authority. We gave our dominion. We gave our rights. We gave our privileges. We gave it all away. We abdicated. We lost it. And so only a man could come to the earth and legally enter the earth and absorb that loss so that what was lost could be found. That's going to be next session. So that what was lost would be found. And then ultimately, in a just way, to be able to say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Now it is finished. Justice. Legal. Why is that important for you? Because every right and every promise and everything you are, your identity, your authority as sons and daughters is not based upon your morality. It's not based upon whether you get it all right or wrong. It's not whether you read the Bible or didn't read the Bible, or whether you had a goosebump or didn't have a goosebump. It's not based upon whether or not you're tall, short, or have a perfect bald head. I know you guys, you just have to wait to heaven to get this. Morality, it's not, you just have to wait, right? It's not predicated upon your morality. It's not predicated upon your identity. It's not predicated upon, it's all beyond you. So when God says in his word, yes and amen to every promise, to every single precept that is in the word of God, where the Apostle Paul had said it's yes and amen, whether it's healing, whether it's a loved one, whether whatever need, human need there is, you are not standing against that mountain, against that enemy based upon your righteousness, based upon who you are. You're standing there and saying, mountain, you must move. It doesn't matter that I binged on Netflix last night and didn't read my Bible. I'm commanding you to move because my rights are here in God's citizenship, in God's kingdom. I am here and I have rights, and legally, based upon the justice of Jesus, I command that demon, I command that sickness, I command that disease, I command that poverty to go, get away. I have legal rights. Jesus made it just. And Jesus made it legal, so predicated upon his work, you must move. Yeah. And that's why the sons of Sceva, they didn't understand that. They didn't understand. They just heard a teaching. And they tried to enact the teaching and didn't have the relational authority to be able to do what they saw Paul doing. Right? So that's crucial for us, that the kingdom of God is based upon justice. Scripture says, Matthew chapter 6, 33, seek first the kingdom. What does that mean? You got to want it. Seek. Got to go after it. The issue is not whether you qualify and what you feel like. The issue is, what do you want? Do you want the order of heaven in your life? That's the issue. Not your circumstances. Not your temperament. Not what somebody else has done to you. Didn't matter. Joyce Meyer wanted it. He says, seek and you're going to find. Knock, and the door is going to be open. I don't care if you're 8, 18, or 83. The kingdom of God is always present and ready. The first order of business is, will you seek it? Will you open up your heart? The second is, it's predicated upon his righteousness. I'm going to have the band just come up, and we're going to get ready to close first service. There they are. Thank you for pointing me in the right direction, brother. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's very important that you understand his righteousness. It's interesting that when man fell, one of the curses came to the enemy and said, "You're a viper, you snake, you shrewd thing. You're going to bite his heel, but he's going to crush your head." A viper, a snake, what is that? John the Baptist comes on the scene. He's announcing Jesus Christ. He's baptizing people. He's saying the Messiah is coming. He's the forerunner. He's about to introduce the very one that would initiate the kingdom of God upon the earth. Jesus Christ would inaugurate it as he came. And he looks at the Pharisees that came out to watch the people being baptized. And what did he say? "You brood vipers." He took Genesis chapter 3 and he took it all the way back. And he said, "I'm going to identify that snake for you. You see that spirit of religion that's going to place your own merit, your own performance, that's going to put some type of external qualification upon you to be able to access the kingdom of God, that's going to tell you you need to perform, you need to be this way, you need to do this, you have to come up to this standard. This happened in your life, this didn't happen in your life, you are disqualified." He said, that's the viper, that's the snake that comes with accusation, that comes with unworthiness, that comes with self-doubt, that comes with self-hatred, that comes with constantly feeling like you're not lining up, comes with feeling like you got to do more, feeling like you haven't lined up enough, and so why aren't I healed? That comes with comparisons. "Hey, she got healed. You didn't get healed. What's wrong with you? Hey, how come that person's blessed? You're not being blessed. What's wrong with you?" That's the snake. And he comes and he exploits human weaknesses. He finds a vulnerability. He finds something, maybe a condition, maybe the way that you were conditioned when you were young, maybe the mind patterns that were set in your mind, even in religion, trying to get you to earn it and be good enough, and you got to reach some kind of standard. Any of those things he'll come and exploit to try and steal, kill, and destroy. But I've got good news. It's the gospel of the kingdom. And there is nothing that the enemy can possibly do to circumvent the power of God's kingdom and his rule in whatever situation you find yourself in. The only one that can do something about that is you. That's it. It's your will. And if you say, "Thy kingdom come," your will, your order, your reign, your rule, your government in my life. And my goal for you is that you would start to put on a set of kingdom-colored glasses. And a kingdom mindset from now on would be how you distill every stimulation that you get in your life, what was in your past and what is in your present, and ultimately the possibilities of your future. That you would look at your future not hamstring by your history, but you would look at your future free and say, "What are the possibilities of Father's kingdom? That he said, all things are possible to those that believe." That you would be able to take your present, its hurts, its weaknesses, and say, "Wait a second. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives inside of me. And the life that I now live, I live in faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm going to renew my mind to this." When you start to feel that you can't do the business, or you can't step out, or you're oppressed and things are going wrong, and the situation that you find yourself in is so dark, it doesn't look like God is advancing at all, I'm going to challenge you to put a kingdom mindset on and renew your mind to the promises of God and renew it until transformation begins to happen, regardless of the circumstances, because ultimately God's kingdom and God's power and God's light, if you persist, if you let patience have its perfect work, you will be complete, you will be entire, you will lack nothing as you move forward in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to challenge you to put on a mindset of the kingdom, that I am a daughter, I'm a son of the King, and I want you to make a decision today. Everything that God promises me in Scripture, everything that God promises, not man, God, find out, you seek, what God promises me in Scripture, I'm going to have. Come on, give me a better amen than that. Everything that God promises my sons, everything that God promises my family, what does God say about my identity? What does God say about my peace? What does God say about my future? All of those, I'm making a decision today, it is mine. Jesus died for it, I'm going to take it, and I'm going to bring that rule into my life. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Session 2. how we start to do that. That's session two. Session three, we're going to talk about justice and righteousness and the legality of the kingdom. Session four is we're going to talk about the promises of God and how they relate to faith and how to implement those into your life and how faith operates and works within the context of the kingdom, okay? So let me pray for you. If you're here today and you're saying, Tom, you know what? I need Jesus. I don't want religion. I don't want a church. I don't want rules. I'm not into any of that. But this Jesus that you're talking about, this kingdom thing that you're talking about, his rule on the earth, man, this earth has been taking dominion over me. I'm in poverty. I'm from check to check. I mean, paycheck to paycheck, barely. I'm in debt and I love God, but I need something other than just loving God. I need now his kingdom in my life. And the way into that is only righteousness. And the only way you can be righteous is through the work of Jesus Christ, not your own work. And if you're here today saying, okay, look, I get it now. I've been going to church for a while, but I need one thing and one thing alone, Jesus' righteousness on me. I receive what he did. I receive what he did beyond you. I just receive what he did, best I know how, this morning. So with your head bowed, you would say, that's me, Tom, because I want to pray for you right now. Just lift up your hand. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, yes. Righteousness, receiving Christ anew, fresh. Maybe you're far from God and you're saying, look, man, I'm discouraged in here. I just feel really, really discouraged. And I need that reconnection with my Heavenly Father. I want to let him absorb the sense of failure that I feel and allow his rule and his authority to come into my life and start to work in that. Let me just see your hands. If that's you, you're just saying, I want to reconnect to that. Yes. All right. Awesome. Let's pray this prayer together. Just say, Jesus, thank you for being the Savior of the world and being the Savior of my life. I realize that in the world, I was broken. I've made mistakes. I have failed. I understand all that. But Jesus, you intervened and you worked on my behalf and you died on the cross for my sins and you absorbed my failure. So I receive your work, not my work, but your work. I receive you as my Lord, the leader of my life. I ask right now that you would take control of every thought, of every feeling, and teach me your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, I receive salvation and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's just give it up right now. So, next session, we're going to be talking about how to begin to enter in and walk out in kind of a daily way the kingdom of God and what that looks like. So I'm going to encourage you just to go ahead and get something to eat real quick. And then after worship, just tell husband and wife. Matter of fact, go grab them by the ear and get them back here, right? And get session two, and then we'll go to session three and session four. And by the fourth one, I'm believing you're going to have enough information to absolutely start to walk in the high calling, implement some things, transform things. There's businesses, there's books, there's songs yet in you. There are things that have got to come out. I've been coming here for 6-7 years, okay? And so some of us have got to move. It's time to move. We got a lot of information. You're there, but I want to show you how now to take kingdom principles and start to implement them into your homes, into your business, and see your sons, your daughters, your homes, your families transformed, which will sweep people into your influence.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit SummitSanMarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.